I want to talk this morning on the practice of persistent prayer, the practice of personal prayer. You know, the Lord talks to us today about a number of things. He's trying to help his own shepherds, the apostles he's going to appoint, and the first thing he says to them is, if you're going to be a good shepherd, you got to pray. But that isn't just true for priests or deacons or you who are parents, you're shepherds. You who are older, you're shepherds. You want to be a good shepherd? The Lord says you got to pray. So let's look at this gospel today and see how the Lord wants to help all of us to learn a little bit more about prayer and also by that very fact to become a better help and a better shepherd to people who need our care. Anyone in this church just need, you know, that somebody needs you to care for them? But you also know you got to be strengthened to do it, amen? When folks are depending on you, you got to be strong, and only the Lord can do that for you. So let's take a look now at some of the four basic teachings on prayer that the Lord gives us. And the first thing I want you to notice is the practice of praise-filled prayer. The practice of praise-filled prayer. You know, the gospel opens. You may remember last week the Lord sent them out two by two and said, go and proclaim the kingdom and summon people to repentance, summon them to a new mind and a new heart. So he sent them out, and now they've come back. And church, they're overjoyed. They want to talk to the Lord about what's been going on. And they're excited. In a similar passage in Luke's gospel, the Lord sent out an additional 72, and when they came back shouting and proclaiming, Lord, even demons are subject to us in your name. They were happy and rejoicing at the fruitfulness of their work. And you see, the first instinct they have is to run right back to the Lord and talk to him about what happened. Now, church, notice the practice of praise-filled prayer. Now, the first thing I want to do is emphasize that word praise. You know, a lot of people just think of prayer in terms of petition. I got to ask God for something. Oh, Lord, help, Lord. Okay. And that's all right. That's a good thing. I want you to ask everything from the Lord. But you know, I sometimes think that we must give God a migraine headache. Because we're always saying, oh, Lord, help, help. And every now and again, maybe the Lord would like to hear just a little bit of thanksgiving and a little bit of praise from the people of God. To learn to just praise the Lord. Do you praise the Lord in your prayer? When you come aside in your personal prayer, do you just lift up your hands and say, thank you, Lord. I thank you. I worship you. I praise you for all you've done for me. Church, do you do that? Hallelujah. You know, you sometimes say, well, I'm not so sure I always remember how to do that. Take one of the Psalms, or just take the Gloria from the Mass. Just clap your hands and start singing, glory to God in the highest. Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in your prayer. See, again, the Lord says, when he teaches the Our Father, what's the first thing? The first thing he says to do when he teaches us the Our Father. He says, when you pray, start like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Oh, Heavenly Father, your name is holy. Lord, you ride on the clouds of heaven. You're glorious. You're wonderful. I praise you. I praise you for all you do. I thank you, Lord. I praise you. Church, the Lord's doing some good stuff in your life. I know that some of us got some situations. I know that some of us have some struggles. But church, the Lord's doing some good stuff in your life. Amen? In fact, he's doing a lot of stuff you don't even know about. And because you don't know about it, you can't thank him. But he does it anyway. And church, I got news for you. Even the difficult things are somehow gifts in strange packages. all things work together for good for those who love and trust the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Yes, even the difficult things somehow God has permitted for a reason and a season. And say, Lord, I'm not so sure I'm emotionally up to it right now, but I'm going to praise you even for this. I'm going to say, praise the Lord anyhow. You know, sometimes we may not emotionally feel like praising the Lord. Are you with me on that, church? Sometimes we're a little sleepy. Sometimes we're a little sad. But church, you just got to command your soul. You know what the psalm says. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Sometimes you just got to command your soul. Soul, we're going to bless the Lord. Soul, you may not feel like it, but we're going to bless the Lord. And so it is. Notice again, the practice of praise-filled prayer. Now, I want you to notice also that word practice. Practice. You know, when the Lord talks to us about praying, I'm going to just say, I hear this from a lot of folks, and I've certainly experienced it in my life. But some folks come to me and they say, you know, prayer is hard. Prayer is sometimes boring. Prayer is, I talk, but I don't hear anything. Or if I do hear something, I don't know if it's me or God. Come on, church. Are you praying with me? Is there too much echo in here? Are you working with me today? I gotta slow down and enunciate. Church, I know prayer can be difficult. But you know, when we start talking like that, prayer is hard. Prayer is difficult. Prayer can be boring. Don't tell me. Tell God. Because you know what you're doing? You're already praying. You know, prayer isn't just folding your hands and saying a bunch of stained glass words that you didn't write and you don't really mean. Prayer is first and foremost talking to God about what's going on. And if what's going on is, I don't like to pray, I struggle to pray, I'm having a hard time praying, that's your prayer. And get started. Start there. Church, talk to God about what's going on in your life. Praise him and talk to him. These apostles have gone out, and they I'm sure they got the whole gamut of things. They got a lot of good things that happened, and they had some rejection. Some folks called them everything but a child of God. But they come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to talk to you about what's been going on. So you see again, they return to the Lord, and they begin to talk to him about what's going on in their life. So the first teaching on prayer is the practice of praise-filled prayer. Now, by the way, practice is a good word. Because you know how practice works. The more you practice, the better you get. You know, I want to just say I've been serious about prayer for the last, say, 25 years of my life, making a holy hour every day. And I'll just tell you, when I got started, it was hard work. But as I've gone through these last 25 years, prayer's gotten a lot easier. It's gotten more gentle. I don't talk as much when I'm praying. It's okay for me just to kind of sit still and listen to God. Over the years, my prayer has become more of a refreshment, more of a joy, more of something that I really look forward to every day. And so you see, church, you say it's hard. I know it's hard. Everything's hard when you begin. And if you just sort of dabble in it, do a little here, a little there, not going to get you very far. But if you stay at it every day, it's like anything. You start out playing chopsticks. Before you know it, you're playing Chopin, I believe he's called. It just comes with time. Are you praying with me? So, step one, the practice of praise-filled prayer. Now, the next thing I want you to notice, the next teaching, is the peace of personal prayer. You know, they're coming to the Lord, and the Lord says, I tell you what, come aside and rest a while with me. Come aside with me and rest a while. You know, church, I think one of the struggles that a lot of people have with prayer is that they see prayer as something they've got to do. Another thing on the list. Got to go get groceries. Got to go pick up the kids at the soccer practice. Don't forget that. Got to do this. Got to pray. So it's on the list of things to do. But church, this invitation is a little different. It's about seeing prayer as rest, as resting in the Lord. What a beautiful invitation here of understanding. The Lord says, first of all, see the dignity? The Lord says, let's you and I get aside for a while. We'd be all excited if some celebrity said, just you and me, let's go aside somewhere and talk. Wouldn't you be excited? You'd Twitter all your friends, amen? Guess who wants to meet with me? And yet the Lord of all creation does, and we're like, oh yeah, I'll try to schedule that if I can. Church, are you praying with me? So you see, there's a vision here. First of all, the Lord says, you and me, let's get aside for a few minutes. Let's really spend some time together. And he says, come aside and rest a while. Beautiful old hymn comes to mind. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of despair and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, oh, sweet hour of prayer. Do you see your prayer that way? Do you see that as a time of just resting with the Lord, letting the phone ring, let it go to voicemail? Just sit on the sofa, curl up, and take the Word of God, and just spend some time soaking up the rays of God's love. Do you ever see it that way, church? Prayer as a resting with the Lord. And since He bids me seek His face, believe His Word, and trust His grace, I'll cast on Him my every care and wait for Thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Oh, I gotta pray. Let me go try and pray.
No, sweet, oh, sweet hour of prayer. I lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, oh, who made heaven and earth. I'm gonna go, and I'm gonna take a little time and rest with the Lord. So again, you see, the Lord says, you need to rest. And we're going to see why now in just a moment. But again, you see, first of all, the practice of praise-filled prayer, the peace of personal prayer, the shalom, the peace. And then number three, the third teaching, the primacy, the priority of personal prayer. Now, church, it says here that people were coming and going in great numbers. Oh, I tell you, they were coming and going in great numbers so that the apostles couldn't even find time to eat. Now, most of us know how to find time to eat. That's you talk about being busy. That's busy. And the Lord says, you know what? We got to get away from this for a while. Now listen, pay attention. Notice the priority that the Lord gives to this. It says that people were coming and going in great numbers. Now I bet you that a lot of those people had critical needs. Critical. Some needed healing. Some needed demons driven out of them. Some needed instruction, consolation, and help. That's all important stuff. Are you praying with me, church? But the Lord says, we got to get out of here for a few minutes. We got to take some time and get away from this crowd. Do you see the priority he gives? You see, an awful lot of us fall into the trap of following the priority of the urgent, but neglecting the priority of the important. And prayer is important. Now think about it. The Lord says, we got to get out of here. Now, for him, one of the only places he could get away from the crowd was to go out on the water, to get on a boat and go out on the lake. And so that's what they do. They get in a boat and they go out the lake. Now, Jesus often withdrew from the crowd. I wrote down a few scriptures here. The text says in Luke 5 that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. Scripture speaks of him as rising early in the morning to pray, of praying late into the night, and of praying all night long. He went up to the mountains to pray. He went off into deserted places to pray. See, church, Jesus made prayer a priority. But Jesus, there are people in the town who need help. But Jesus, you can't go away from us now. You've got to stay in. You've got to preach and you've got to heal and you've got to teach. And yes, he says, guess what? I got to bug out for a while. I got to get away from here for a little while and I got to go and pray. Jesus made prayer a priority. Now, I hope, you see, since we looked at prayer for a moment with the image of rest, I hope you can see why prayer has to be a priority. You know, think of a person who engages in strong or physical manual labor. They can't do that forever. They got to stop after a while and rest. Amen? Now, you and I might, if there's an emergency that comes up, we might miss some sleep. We might shorten our sleep or even miss a night of sleep. But you can't go on like that, amen? You go on like that for more than a day or two, you're going to be out of your mind. You're going to be falling asleep right at the wheel. So you see, church, we've got to rest. Not because work is unimportant, but because work is important. We have to rest so that we can do it well. So you see the vision here. The Lord is saying, you've just got to get away and you got to pray. If it's true for your physical life, that your body will get tired, and that you'll make careless mistakes if you don't sleep, it's true for your soul as well. You know, you want to be effective in raising your kids. You want to be effective in teaching or preaching or at your work. How are you going to do that if you're not well rested? Again, church, we've got to pray in order to be effective in what the Lord calls us to do. Many years ago, Archbishop Fulton Sheen set himself to a ministry of preaching retreats to priests. And Sheen, and any of you ever know who Archbishop Sheen was, he was a great preacher. He was on TV all the way back in the 50s, back before most folks were doing that kind of stuff, and he was a great preacher. People would flock, they would pack churches just to hear that man preach. And Fulton Sheen used to always say to priests when he'd give retreats, he'd say, you know, we Catholic priests do not have a reputation for being good preachers. Now, I'm just going to tell you why most of you don't preach well. You're not praying. That's why you don't preach well. You're just not praying. And he said to them, you must commit yourself to pray 1 hour in personal prayer every day. And if you do, your preaching will come alive. You will begin to know the Lord, and you will be a powerful shepherd and minister of God's people. But if you're not going to pray, your preaching is never going to take off. You'll never catch fire. And he went to place after place preaching retreats like that, saying priests have got to pray. Now the seminary I went to, Mount St. Mary's, took up that theme, and they said of us, if you're not prepared to make a holy hour every day, don't let the door hit you on the butt on the way out. You will either commit yourself to pray or just get out of here. You're just dangerous. See the vision? Prayer is essential. If we're not going to rest, We're going to go out and try to do God's work, and we're going to make careless mistakes. We're going to be asleep. We're going to be unaware. We're just going to be lost. We've got to pray. Some years ago, a priest friend of mine was giving spiritual direction to a religious sister. This is back in the 70s. And I don't know if some of you remember, but back in the 70s, it was common to say, "My work is my prayer." That was a common theme that was said. So anyway, one day this sister came to this priest friend of mine and said, "I want to begin spiritual direction." And he said, "Okay, well, tell me about your prayer life." And she said, "Well, I don't really pray all that much because for me, my work is my prayer. That's my spirituality." He took off his glasses. He said, "Sister, if you're not praying, you don't have a spirituality." And he said, "You're going to pray an hour a day if you're going to come to spiritual direction to me." Now, some years later, he ran into her at the airport. And by this time, she had moved on and she'd become the major superior of that particular order. And he said, "Sister, how are you doing?" And she says, "Oh," she says, "I am so busy." And he said, "Are you praying?" And he's kind of cringing because she's saying she's so busy. And she says, "Father," she says, "I am so busy that now I need to take 2 hours to pray." Now, church, that's a smart woman. You see, the more your duties, the more the load, the more we need to pray. Prayer is so essential for us. And again, if we don't rest, we're not going to make it. We're not going to be able to take care of our spiritual duties. So again, I say to you, if you have any pastoral task, and all of you do, except for maybe the very youngest here, whether you're a parent, a leader in the community, or of this faith community, whether you're simply older and you have care or witness to give to younger people, you have some role as a shepherd and as a leader. And I'm just going to say it plain. If you're not praying, you can be downright dangerous. We've got to pray. The Lord says, "Come aside and rest a while." You say, "But Father, there's so many things going on in my life." I know. People were coming and going in great numbers, such that the apostles could not even eat. Jesus said, "We got to get out of here." And they did. Jesus made time for prayer. He had a priority for prayer. How about you? How about me? Pray for priests. If we're not praying, we're dangerous men. Pray that we stay faithful to prayer. Pray that we take that hour, whether before the Blessed Sacrament or just in the quiet of our rooms. My spiritual director years ago said to me, "If you got to say Mass in the morning, go say Mass for the people. But then go up to your room and close the door and don't even show up until 9:30 in the morning. Don't even show up." Now, you're probably going to work till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, 12-hour day. That's not bad. But you better go in your room and you better make that time for prayer in the morning, because otherwise, he said, you're dangerous. So pray for priests. The Lord rebukes the bad shepherds in today's first reading. I wonder how they got that way. How did they become so insensitive to God's people? How did they become so remote from what they should be doing? They probably weren't praying. So again, we've seen now three of the four things. Simply this: the practice of praise-filled prayer, the peace of personal prayer, the rest, the primacy or the priority of personal prayer, and then finally, the power of personal prayer. You see, it says that as they got out there in the lake, they rested. The apostles spent time with Jesus, Jesus with his Father and with his apostles, and they prayed. And then it says the boat came to the other shore. And sure enough, church, there was a crowd waiting. Are you praying with me? Don't worry, if you get away from your task for a little while, it'll be there when you get back. Probably with more things on the inbox, amen? But notice how does the Lord react? It says in the text simply that he looked upon them with love. He pitied them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them at great length. You see, church, that time away, that time out on the lake, was important for Jesus. I'm talking about his human nature now. He had a human nature like ours that got tired, fatigued. And now that he spent a little time out on the lake with his Father, with his disciples, he's renewed, he's rejuvenated, he's ready. This time away has equipped, empowered, and enabled him. And now, strengthened in his humanity, well rested, he sees the crowd and with love goes off the boat and starts to teach them at great length. So you see, this idea of getting away for prayer is not selfish. It is something that empowers us to really serve. If all we do is work, we collapse and die. But if we work and then rest, we come back and we work even more and we work even better. We don't rest because work is unimportant. We rest because work is important. We do not rest because witness is unimportant. We rest in prayer because witness is important. It's so important that we've got to rest to do it well. Pray, church. Pray. You see, it's hard to find time to pray. You know, we find time for everything else. Come on, church. We find time for the TV show. We find time to sleep. Time to eat. Find plenty of time to eat. Some folks never miss the golf game. We find time to make money. Why can't we find time to pray? And church, part of the reason is we don't make it a priority. And the Lord is saying to us today, you've got to come aside and rest a while. Every day in prayer, spend some time with the Lord. You may not have the luxury of an hour, like I as a priest do. But spend 15, 20 minutes a day. Take time. Read God's word reflectively as though God was speaking it to you for the first time. The word of God is not just any old word. It is a word that breathes forth love. It's the words of a God who loves you, who made you, who is speaking to you. Take the time. Find a nice sunny room. Grab a cup of coffee. And sit down and start talking to the Lord. Oh, the Lord has so many things to say to us, so many things that he wants us to hear. And I simply say again, church, it's so essential that if we're not doing it, we're probably downright dangerous. So again, find that time. You say, I know it's hard, but find it. We find time for everything else. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne to make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of despair and grief, my soul so often has found relief. And I've oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet, oh sweet hour of prayer. And since he bids me seek his face and believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thy return, sweet, oh sweet hour of prayer. Come aside and rest a while.
Amen.